So we were conditioned. I was conditioned that you have this time frame in which you can make it. And if you don't get it done by a certain time, you're never going to do it. And something that I have learned is that your dream does not know a time frame.
Welcome to the Creative Chats Podcast with Mike Brennan.
Welcome to another episode of Creative Chats. It's the podcast for artist makers and content creators where we talk about creativity, the creative process, and story. I'm your host, Mike Brennan. You can connect with me over on Instagram. I'm at Mike Bone, or check out some of my work on my website, which is mikebrennan.me. Also, I would love to have you as part of our creative community called Daily Creative Habit. It's a free Facebook group with creatives of all types of expressions. And everyone there is really just raising their hand saying, I want to show up more consistently for my creativity and my craft. And I know that I can't do it alone. And if that's you, we would love to have you as part of this community. Again, it's free. It's on Facebook. And we show up and share work and share some experiences. I'm in there all the time. Just sharing from my own journey and some of the things, lessons that I've learned along the way. So we would love to have you go to dailycreativehabit.com and we look forward to seeing you there. Now on today's episode, I get to talk with Jesse Paul Smith, who is a phenomenal powerhouse. I mean, I'm so thankful that I connected with this guy. He is a dancer, musician, entrepreneur, just total creative guy. And he has had a story that is just filled with ups and downs. If you're someone who has been longing for your big break, you're someone who has been looking for an opportunity, you know, the opportunity that's going to be a game changer for you, you especially want to pay attention to today's episode. Because Jesse shares his story that is filled with ups and downs, places where, you know, he had it. He had those moments, those game-changing moments, and yet things fell apart. He had to pivot. He had to learn how to lean into things when things started going south and to show up and reinvent himself. And so I know that this is going to be hugely encouraging to so many of you. And Jesse is a great guy with a great heart. I mean, his heart is to serve other creative people, other performers and artists. And he wants to see people taking ownership over their own journeys. To stop waiting for those big breaks. As a matter of fact, he has created a summit that I have the pleasure of speaking at, and it's called Creating Your Big Break. And I want to encourage you to be sure to go and sign up for the summit. It's free. There are paid portions of it if you'd like the recordings afterwards. But go and make sure that you secure a ticket for this. We mentioned this in the podcast episode. Just fair warning, though, the dates have shifted a bit because of some technical difficulties. So the new dates are February 10th through the 14th of 2021. Be sure that you sign up for that. I will put a link in the show notes where you can go and join in and listen to these amazing other speakers, everyone talking about this journey of just mindset issues and how to build a platform and how to take ownership over your own journey and stop waiting for that big break, because it's not coming. You need to seize the opportunities yourself, learn how to leverage what is even before you right now. And so listen into this conversation with Jesse. I know you're gonna be inspired. I know that he is going to be just dropping some tremendous insights on you that are gonna affect your journey and how you think about what success looks like and what it is that you're actually aiming towards. So without further ado, here is my creative chat with Jesse Paul Smith. Well, Jesse, welcome to the Creative Chats podcast. I'm excited to have you here today.
Yeah, man, it's an honor to be here. Appreciate you bringing me on.
Absolutely. I love getting to meet new creative folks, or at least new to me, right? So just mutual friends introducing us and just hearing a little bit about you, your background, your story. I was like, this is a guy I need to get to know better. and love what you're doing. And I'm excited too, because out of all the creative expressions I've had on the podcast, I have yet to have anybody who is connected with dance. And that is something that I totally wanted to have. And I was like, I need to find somebody who can share a little bit about that and that creative expression for those people who are listening, who are like, yeah, I appreciate the other arts, but that's not my creative expression. My creative expression is dance. And that's just not my world, but I want to be able to serve those people as well. So I'm excited to get into some of that today in your story and your journey.
Yeah, dance has been, it's been not only a form of expression, but it's been something that's saved my life several times.
Awesome. So why don't you just start off by giving us a little bit of like, who are you? What do you do?
Well, so my, I guess who I am, I'm a human being first, and a creative is inside of me, right? But I run a online dance show called Worldwide Dance Challenge, where we take dancers from literally all around the world, from all different styles, and have them compete head to head live online in front of a live audience, to give them the chance to, you know, carry around that world's best title. So, I do that as a show, but then I also really do a lot of helping performers understand that they can stop waiting for their own big break. I think a lot of times we have been conditioned as performers, creatives, to kind of like wait for that moment where, you know, somebody finds our work and they validate us and say we're good enough by hiring us. And we kind of cross our fingers and hope that chance comes, because that's what we think is going to start our career or give us the big break that we've been looking for. And, you know, I was of that mentality. I mean, I did work out in LA and danced with some of the most talented recording artists out there. But I quickly found out that one job doesn't make your career. And in fact, with the change of how things have evolved over time, when I was out in LA building my career as a dancer, MySpace was the thing, right? It wasn't, yeah. Facebook wasn't even open to, you know, the general public. You had to be going to a university or something to be able to be a part of Facebook. And so, you know, but with how things have changed with social media and everything else like that, we have such a wide spans that how we can take our passion, whether it's, you know, not only performers, but, you know, artists and creatives alike, we have that ability now to, there's not just one way to, you know, to the golden ticket, right? There are so many ways that we can build. And that's, you know, after leaving Hollywood and going back into the business sector, I learned a lot about how to build a platform, how to build businesses, how to do all those kinds of things. And so now really my passion is to help those entertainers, those creatives, that really want to take this passion that they have and build something meaningful with it, a career with it, and, you know, show them that they can do that themselves and they don't have to wait for somebody else to give them that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I loved hearing you talk about that previously. And that's one of the things where I was like, you know what, we are aligned in that, that whole idea of not waiting for that big break and taking ownership of your own journey. You know, I think too many people, you're right, they do wait and they do look for other people to give them permission,
yeah,
to step into their art and their creativity.
Yeah.
So I love right on what you're doing and what you're talking about. Question, did this start for you, like dance and your creativity? Did it start as a kid? Was there something, maybe a moment or an experience you had where you were like, this is something that I want to do more of and possibly lean into this for a career?
Well, yeah, I mean, performing for me started when I was 3 years old. I sang, I started my career. I say that in quotation marks, but I really got the bug when I was as young as 3 years old. I grew up in a church. My grandpa at the time was the pastor of the church we were going to. And, at 3 years old, my mom stuck me up on stage and I sang the books of the Bible. And, the congregation just ate it up. And it was interesting because, within a few weeks' time, I was put on a citywide church tour going around and singing the books of the Bible. And, you know, what I didn't realize was that was the birth of really my passion for stage. And music has always been a really big part of me. Because I grew up in the church, I actually didn't even get introduced to dance until I was in my until I was 20 years old. And so music, though, was my poison, right? It was, I mean, I was the band geek of all band geeks. I played a bunch of different instruments and, you know, got a letter jacket. Some of these people, when they lettered in band, they just added it to their already overly decorated band patch. Well, no, me, I went and bought the letter jacket just for the band patch, 'cause that's all I lettered in. But I was a band geek through and through. And if you would have asked me during my, you know, high school days, what was I going to do with my life? I would have told you unequivocally, I'm going to go and do music. And so that was, I knew at that time that music and being on stage was what I wanted to do.
Mm, that's awesome. I love that the formative experiences for us as kids really play a big role, I think, in how we approach what we do. And there's, I think, a part of us that is always trying to recapture some of the magic that happened back then, you know, because that's when we showed up in its purest form. It wasn't about, you know, making money. It wasn't about, you know, other people's approvals or trying to get ahead or any of that stuff. It was just like, I'm doing this because I love to do this.
Yeah.
And I want the world to see because I think it brings them joy.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how did that transition then to dance?
So amongst doing music, I did martial arts. And so, I was really heavy into the martial arts. And so I would travel all around the country and go to these tournaments. And at the time, after all the tournaments, we had these big, like, nationally sponsored teams. You had like Paul Mitchell and Jungle Care and all these big teams that were, they had some of the best in, you know, that space. And we would always have these after parties after the tournaments were done. And so the DJ would get up and start doing their things. And these guys would come and they would start break dancing. And it was at that time, I was like, wow, this stuff is super cool. So I, you know, I kind of got introduced to it then. Then there was a time in my life where I knew I needed to step away from martial arts. But I kind of had this aggressiveness in me that I knew that I couldn't just keep, you know, bottled up. So I needed to find another outlet, that wasn't necessarily music. I was a drummer. So beating the drum super hard didn't do it for me. I needed to make sure and have something else. And so, I kind of went to a club in where I'm from. And at that time it was quote unquote dry night, no alcohol, but there was a couple of kids over on the corner and they were doing this like seawalk stuff. And I was like, man, this is something that I want to learn how to do. So I went over there and started hanging out with them. And literally at that moment, it was like, I fell in love. And I was like, this is just so much. It fit me at whether it was because of the martial arts that I did. It just kind of went hand in hand, but I literally fell in love with dance. And it was at that moment that I started dancing, easily 30 plus hours a week.
Mm. Wow. That's incredible. And then what did that lead to? Like, how did the story continue for you in dance?
So, you know, like I said, I became obsessed with dance. And so, I wasn't a drinker. So, but I didn't have a lot of money. So I needed studio space or I needed dance floor space. Well, the best way for me to do it was all the clubs in my area didn't charge a cover charge. So I could go to clubs on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and practice with a free DJ. When it wasn't open, I would go to literally the local Walmart between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. in the cosmetics section because there was no traffic during that time. There was literally a speaker right above my head because in those days, the iPod didn't exist. And so I would just dance to the music on the radio. And that's how I'd practice. And I started to get really good and I started to get recognized all around my city and would soon go down to Minneapolis and start doing it in clubs down there. And I started getting talent agents that would come and, you know, come in and have conversations with me. And to make a long story short, so one of those conversations ended up having me go down to Florida for a big audition. And it was a audition that Lou Pearlman put on. The founder of Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. And I went down there and, You know, it was there was a sea of people there, 1500 dancers, but they had auditions for like acting, singing, dancing, the whole nine yards. And I auditioned for in front of, you know, these big time judges and got scouted as top 10 dancers. They picked five males, five females as top 10 dancers out of the whole slew. Got to dance in front of 5,000 people and got scouted by every agency that you can think of as a dance agency. Got scouted by Caribbean Cruise Line, Disney, MTV. I chose my agency, signed with MSA, and literally 30 days after that audition, moved out to LA.
Wow. That's like the dream scenario for so many people, right?
Yeah.
That you were able to get into that situation, have those opportunities unfold, and then have your pick. I mean, wow, incredible. What did that teach you though, like about the career, like the business side of things? Like, what were you learning as you're then going into this, going, okay, this is what I want to do. I have these opportunities now. And what does it start to look like?
Well, that's an interesting point, because I didn't realize it until later on in life that I was already learning that one opportunity isn't necessarily your big breaking moment, right? So like I was not thinking anything about business. All I was thinking about at that time was, I just need to get signed. I need somebody to see me. And eventually if somebody sees me, they're going to obviously give me an opportunity. And so, you know, I get this big break moment and I move out to LA, and I thought, man, this is going to be amazing. You know, I got signed to a dance agency. And when I moved out to LA and started talking to different dancers that were out there, I realized that I was like one of the lucky ones, quote unquote, because I had representation. There was all these amazing dancers that had no representation, meaning they didn't have an agency that they were signed with. And they were the ones that were always trying to get their ear to the ground to find out where the auditions were at. Because I had an agency that represented me, I knew where all the auditions were at. So I started to think that I was, you know, on my way. And then I started going to auditions and realizing, holy crap, this is a lot harder than I thought. And I heard my first no, then I heard my second no, heard my third no, fourth no, fifth no. By the 10th no, I started going, okay, this is a little different. You know, I had all these people that wanted me in one moment. Why does nobody want me literally the next? And I started to realize that, you know, some of the people that were booking these jobs, they all ran in the same circles. And I was like, so it's not necessarily always about how talented you are, but it's also about who you know and who you run with. And, again, not smart enough at the time to really put all the pieces together, but, you know, I eventually went to 100 auditions and heard 100 no's before I heard my first yes. And when I heard that first yes, it was, you know, it was amazing. And I was like, here it is. And here's the deal. It was a commercial with a big name, you know, recording artist. And, I got paid almost nothing for it, but you know, it didn't change anything in my career. And I started to realize, it's not just about getting your first gig. There's got to be more to this. And what I started to realize is that I didn't have the mental capacity. I had all the talent, but I didn't have the personal growth development. I didn't have the mental capacity to be able to navigate through all the other stuff. There was, you know, culture shock. I came from a city of 28,000 people to a city of 8 million, you know, and all of the things that come with that. And going from, you know, living, you know, 5 minutes from mom and dad. So if I'm hungry, I can go to mom and dad's house. Now I'm hungry. I got no food. Guess what? You got to figure it out. You know, there's more to this than just talent. There is learning how to see the landscape and be able to be resourceful enough to make it work to your advantage.
Yeah. And those are such important lessons, things that you don't realize until you have to come face to face with them often.
Right.
So as this is continuing on, you know, I know earlier you said that you had some moments that you went back into kind of a marketplace type of situation. So I'm assuming that there was a moment in time where like, okay, the wheels are coming off this thing. Things are not happening like you expected, how you desired them to. Can you talk us through a little bit of like, what was that like for you?
Yeah. So, 2006, you know, I was really struggling. It was interesting because I was out in the land of opportunity. I was quote unquote living my dream as having all this opportunity, but, I found myself staring depression in the face. And really was, I didn't know how to navigate that. And especially at that time, depression was kind of like something you don't talk about, right? If you were depressed, you were broken. And so, I ended up coming home, and I really, really struggled with coming home because I felt like I kind of made a lot of bold claims when I went out to LA, like I'm going to change, you know, I'm going to change my life. Like this is it. I've arrived. I've made it right. And so coming home felt like I was kind of a dog with a tail between his legs. And at first it was so bad. Like I was just telling people, I'm just here for a little bit. I'm just here visiting my folks. I was almost ashamed to tell people, no, I'm back. And so I literally struggled so bad with that, that, I almost committed suicide. I found myself staring off of a bridge that connects Duluth and Superior together called the Bong Bridge. And, I literally was going to end my life. And, I had a moment that I realized that there had to be more. And so I, you know, found myself getting off of the ledge, but, a few days later, what really talked me off the ledge was a few days later, I had somebody give me a call and say, hey, Jesse, would you come and talk to our students about, you know, chasing your dreams and what it's like? Because to some people back where I was from, I had actually made it, you know, they had seen me on MTV. They had seen me on, you know, this Pepsi commercial and all this stuff. So, they thought I had made it. So I was like, well, sure, I'll come there. And so they had me come and speak to an Upward Bound program, which is first generation kids that their parents have, nobody in their family has ever gone to college. And they kind of prep them for this college experience and help them go to college. So they were like, can you just do like a, maybe a small dance workshop and do an inspiring message? And I'm like, sure. You know, coming from the church, I had been preaching since I was 15 years old. So like speaking on stage was also something I was really comfortable with. So I went there and I had a blast. The same feeling that I had performing on stage, you know, at the, you know, when I was doing live performances or whatever, I was getting that same feeling talking to these kids. And one kid came up to me and said, hey, I just want you to know that I was getting ready to drop out of this program. And because of your message today, I made a commitment. I'm going to go to college. And I was like, that hit me so hard. Cause like your message, you might see yourself as a failure, but your message can still inspire and motivate people to reach for more themselves. And I got this adrenaline that I could not explain to you. And I kind of floated out of that auditorium. And before I left, the lady that had called me shook my hand and she goes, I just need you to know that you are one of the best experiences our kids have had at this program. I just want to say thank you. The kids are coming to me and just thanking me for bringing you in. I didn't know what to say. And so I was like, this is so powerful. And she handed me an envelope and I didn't think anything of it. And I was like, okay, so maybe it's a thank you letter, whatever. I got in my car and because curiosity, I couldn't stand it anymore. I'm like, well, I got to open this envelope. And here in it was a check. And it wasn't for a ton of money. It was $200. But we had never talked about money. I just said yes. Mm-hmm. And it dawned on me, oh my gosh, I can still dance. And now I can speak and still make a living. So I started going all over the country doing high school assemblies and college events. And, you know, in and out of that, I would, you know, do retail jobs. I had a lot of sales and leadership experience. So I ran my own Best Buy store. I ran my own Verizon store and learned how to build teams that way. So as I was speaking, I was doing that as well. And there was times that I would do speaking full time. And then there was times where, you know, I'd hit a lull. So I'd go into the, you know, corporate sector for a little bit and help these corporate, you know, stores turn their teams around. I'd often get brought into stores that were struggling, build their teams up. And, so I started to realize that I had different skill sets, and I didn't necessarily know how to put all the pieces together, but I started having I started seeing I had different skill sets. And then in 2013, got a record deal, with Universal. And I thought, once again, here we go. My career is made. 9 months later, $170,000 in debt, facing bankruptcy and realizing I had a breach contract. I once again got out of the entertainment world. And really at that point, I looked at the landscape and I translated it wrong. And I said, this is God's way of showing me that I was not meant to do music. I was not meant to be a performer. We often take a look at circumstances in our life and we misinterpret them. And so It was at that moment that I literally walked away from, I stopped dancing, I stopped performing, and went right back into the corporate sector with a friend of mine, where we took a failing franchise and again, with my experience in building teams and sales and all that kind of stuff, we scaled it and started helping businesses do the same.
Yeah, that's very powerful, Jesse. I appreciate you sharing that just with such authenticity. I think so many times when we're striving for our own journeys and we're looking at the people around us and we're looking to the people who we admire, we can sometimes candy coat things and think, well, their journey was so much easier or so much better or so more direct than mine is. And I'm here and I'm floundering around and I'm trying to figure out what to do with these pieces, or things haven't developed the way that I thought they would or when I thought they would.
Yep.
And when we hear stories like yours shared with authenticity like that, we get a window into, you know, we're all just trying to figure this out. We're all just trying to take the right next steps and we're all learning lessons as we go.
Yep.
We're going to have those moments where we have missteps, where we misinterpret things, like you said. And then it's okay, well, then what's the next move? Because that next move can be the thing that determines, are you going to stay the course or are you going to just jump ship and then that's it? And I love that you keep coming back to it with the things that you've learned and applying new skills and new lessons. And that makes it even more of a complete picture for you and builds to what you're doing even now. Right.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing that, being a performer, especially in the heart of Hollywood, you're told you have this time frame. I mean, we were told we had to look a certain way. In fact, people told me that I had a better chance because when I got out to LA, I was already 25 years old. And in music terms, if you're trying to get a record deal or whatever, a lot of times that means you're almost too old, right? But they would tell me, oh, you got a baby face that'll help you. So we were conditioned. I was conditioned that you have this time frame in which you can make it. And if you don't get it done by a certain time, you're never going to do it. And something that I have learned is that your dream does not know a time frame. Your purpose is not held to some arbitrary timeline that we have put in our minds. Yes, there are some people that make it huge at the age of 16 years old. You know, one of my friends, he's working with one of the biggest stars right now, way bigger than Hannah Montana ever was. And he says, every time I go to her house, I second guess my life because, you know, she's buying her parents Bugattis for Christmas, you know? And so when we take a look at that, we're like, man, we've missed it. we've missed it. And I know for myself, after that record deal, you know, I was 32 years old when I got my record deal, and I knew, quote unquote, I knew that this was my last shot. And when it didn't happen, that was also kind of like this misinterpretation of I'm done. But I'm going to tell you right now, with the way things are, with the landscape of with social media and the internet and that, but also the world is starting to see that it needs all sorts of facets. It needs all sorts of creatives, and not just creatives that are approaching it in one way, that they need, the world is desperately needing, you know, new creativity to go into the marketplace, even in the entertainment business.
Yeah.
And so I learned the most through when I hit that mark where I thought I'm too old, this isn't going to happen. It's interesting to me, my biggest accomplishments and my biggest wins out of the passion that I have to perform and to, you know, create have come, quote unquote, past my prime.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Somebody needs to hear that today for sure, because somebody's thinking their time has come and gone, and they're like, I'm either missed my opportunity or I crashed and burned and it's game over. And when we hear this, it's like, no, there are still opportunities. There are still ways that you can step up and step out into things. And it's interesting because when, you know, we have some similarities in our stories. And when I'm hearing some of the things you're talking about, I'm just like, oh man, I so resonate with that. Where when you realize that a lot of times your mess becomes your message, you know, the pain and the experiences that you've had, that you're just like, sometimes you're like, I don't even know what to do with this part of my life. But yet when we can leverage that and actually help other people with that, then it brings some meaning and some purpose to that and some redemption to that. And I love when I get to hear experiences like that and then get to see people going, oh, I so need that in this moment. You know, just like that kid that you were talking about before when you were speaking, when it has that impact on somebody else's life. And now you're doing that in a phenomenal way with this online dance. I mean, talk a little bit about like, where did that come from? And like, what is it that you're hoping happens through that?
So it's interesting. When I came home from LA, the first time, a couple of years, I think it might've been, actually it was a year after that, my uncle and I were having a conversation and he said, Jesse, what if were given your passion, not because you were supposed to be the star, but because you were supposed to teach the star? What if, what if you weren't ever meant to be the person in the limelight? And in my selfishness, I was like, That spotlight's mine. I don't want to teach somebody. I want to have the spotlight. And it's interesting because I continued to fight for that spotlight. It wasn't until I decided, you know what? I don't want the spotlight anymore. I just want to help other people feel fulfilled. I want to help other people connect with their purpose. I want to help other people be able to live out their passion, because I knew what it was like not being able to do so. And so, you know, when this whole craziness of what we're in happened with the pandemic, I had a sales and leadership development company, but honestly, I was burnt out on it. And I had some moments in my life where I started to get this glimmer of hope. I started getting this kind of this insight as to how I could use the performance side of my personality, the performance side of my skill set, combine it with the business side of my skill set. But I was scared to make that jump because I had failed twice already in my mind. I thought I'd be ridiculous to try to think I could go back and do it again. But you know, sometimes we have moments in our life when things happen and it's not so much that we need to take action as much as we need to pay attention. And, you know, regardless of your, you know, the listener's faith here, my faith is, you know, I'm a Christian dude. And so my belief system's in God. So, you know, I was always praying, God, you know, show me where you want me to go. And what we're hoping for sometimes is that star to come out of the sky and have this big, you know, hey, this is where we're going, or this is what I need you to do. For me, it was a pandemic. For me, it was literally my other business getting completely turned upside down on its head. But what it gave me permission to do was to pivot. And so I was getting burnt out on my business. And a lot of times, if you're burnt out, you're doing one of two things. You're living in an area that you might be really good at that you have no passion in. I heard one of the most powerful messages on kind of purpose and where you should be by Ken Coleman, speaking to Liberty University students. He talked about the sweet spot where your passion and your skill set intersect. And he calls that the sweet spot. I was living where I was really good, which was developing sales teams, you know, helping people become really good at sales. I had helped a lot of people make a lot of money, all these other things, but it wasn't where my passion was at. And what I started to realize was I was getting burnt out because I wasn't allowing the other side of me to exist. I was stifling a part of me. And so what happened was when this pandemic happened, I asked myself two questions. I sat in a room and I said, okay, if I got to start this thing from scratch, who do I really want to serve? Like genuinely, who do I want to serve? That question has been something I have been asking myself for a number of years, but I was, as a creative, I don't know about anybody else can relate with me on this, but I don't like to sit still for more than 5 minutes. So yeah. As a creative, it forced me to sit down and face the question I didn't want to face because there was a lot of scary answers in there. And so I started asking, who do I want to serve? And when I said dancers, it wasn't that it took me so long to answer who it was, because I knew who it was. What it took me so long was to overcome all the limiting beliefs about me doing that. And they show up in the weirdest ways. And usually it shows up as being something that's a problem with them, not a problem with you. And that problem with them was they're broke. they don't want to really, you know, learn business concepts. They just want to, you know, book commercials and do all that kind of stuff. Dude, you've been out of the dance industry since 2006. Nobody freaking knows who you are. Who in the world do you think you are? You're almost 40 years old. You don't have a prayer. I had to overcome all of those limiting beliefs. And once I finally just said, okay, but you know what? What do I have to lose at this point? I'm just going to do it. And then I started asking myself the other question, which was, how can I serve them? I knew that dancers were really good at being dancers. I knew that creatives, performers were really good at creating music, at doing these things. But I also knew they were terrible, a lot of them, at being entrepreneurs. And in this day and age, if you're going to really make it, you have to be a good entrepreneur, have a long sustaining career as a performer. And I could help them with that. I know how to build platforms. What if I was to create an online show that would give them the ability to do all those things, all build it, and then invite them to it? And, you know, impacting dancers' lives literally around the world in less than 6 months.
You know, there's so much power and clarity that comes when you're willing to ask yourself the hard questions and you're willing to show up and stop avoiding certain things. And like you said, the power of mindset, I mean, so huge. The limiting beliefs that we have that we never call into question, and we just continue year after year thinking, well, that's just part of the truth and that's part of my operating system. But yet when we can stop and we can examine those things and call them into question and say, what is it that I'm believing that's a lie that's been stopping me from the things that I really truly should be stepping into. That's not just costing me personally, but that's also costing the other people who I really need to be showing up for and need to be helping. When we start to get a bigger perspective around those things, I think that's when we have those moments where, like you said, you go, what else do I have to lose here? If I don't do this, then I'm going to be missing out on a tremendous opportunity, not only for me, but for the people who I can help, and having a bigger impact. I mean, that's huge, so huge.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I learned from all of that is that you can, we base so much of life on results. Like, how much money is in my bank account? How many likes do I have on my Instagram post? You know, how many people, quote unquote, like me or know who I am? None of that matters when you're miserable. Hmm. I mean, I can tell you when I was in the peak of my sales and leadership development company, I was making a lot of money, right? But I was miserable. Why? Because you were given a gift. You were given a passion for a reason. And it's not some, you know, it's not supposed to be a carrot that's dangling out in front of you and only the lucky few ever get to it. You've been given this passion for a reason, and it's there not just for you to be able to express yourself creatively. It's also a way for you to live a fulfilled life. And so, if that was given to you for a reason, and we were created to live a fulfilled life, that means there is somewhere in the balance a way for you to take this passion and do it continuously. And again, I also know that it was never given to you for just you. It was given to be able to impact people. Every single person on the planet was created to impact somebody. You weren't created to impact everybody, but you were created to impact somebody. And chances are it's through that passion that you have inside of you. So there's this building block, and it's not always going to be straight in front of your nose. You're going to have to discover it. You're going to have to try new things. And, you know, some people are really quick to figure it out. I was not, right? It took me 39 years to figure out how to put all the pieces together. And I'm still trying to figure things out. But at the same time, I've learned that, listen, it's not you have this creative side of you or. It's you have this creative side of you and. And those two pieces were meant to come together, not only just for you, but for the people that you were meant to impact.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Love that. Love that. And I think right now that light bulb may be going on for somebody who's listening and realizing that it's not just about them. It's about the people around them and the people that they need to serve, the people who are waiting for them to show up. And I'm hoping that this is the thing that starts that conversation with themselves to go, how can I start to do that? How can I start to show up? And that, I think that sets up perfectly for, I want to talk about the upcoming summit that you have, and I'm excited to be a part of that. And I think this is going to be something that really equips people and challenges people. So talk a little bit about the summit, and let us know why now? Why are you doing the summit?
Yeah. So, you know, again, being able to spend a lot of time with performers over the last year, I always knew in the back of my mind that, again, the entrepreneurial side of creatives was not their strong suit, or some of them didn't even tap into it because they didn't realize they needed to. You know, they've been spending so much time becoming good at their craft, which they need to be. Right. But I was getting sickened by watching all these dancers and then starting to talk to even musicians and recording artists and stuff, posting all of these videos on TikTok and Instagram. And they're hoping they're going to go viral, because if it goes viral, then they're going to get, you know, the right person to see them, that opens the right opportunity for them, and the stars are going to align. And when I started asking them what they were doing outside of that, I would get blank stares. And I started to realize, my goodness, like, you're waiting for somebody to give you your big break. And I realized that my big break didn't come until I went and created it. I didn't get the big, you know, red carpet rolled out for me through a commercial deal or a brand deal. And for some people that might be the case, it might happen, but it's for the few, right? And here's the thing. Yeah. If it doesn't happen to you, what people were then translating that as is, well, I guess my dreams are never going to come true. My big break is never going to happen. No, because of what I just talked about, like, that passion was given to you for a reason. So because I had been spending so much time in the business sector, the last 7 years scaling companies and doing all these kinds of things, I knew that this was going to be something that I wanted to be able to help more of these performers create their big break. I wanted to give them the opportunity to see beyond the one dimension that they had been living in. And I got approached by a friend of mine that said, Jesse, you really need to do a summit. And I was like, well, let's see if this is something that really resonates with people. And it's been absolutely mind-blowing to see the speakers that are coming on this thing. I mean, you know, to see people like Jordan Harbinger say yes, Evan Carmichael say yes. I mean, Lady Gaga's choreographer say yes. People are getting behind this message because of what happened with the pandemic. We're realizing even the one dimension hardly can exist anymore because we live in a different time. And so you have to get creative with not only your creativity, but your approach.
Yeah.
And so we created this summit called Creating Your Big Break. And really what I wanted to be able to do is to have somebody come to this summit, which you can attend it for free or you can buy a ticket. There's different levels in which you can get involved. So, but I wanted somebody that was a creative that said, listen, I love to perform and I want to find out how to get my big break. Come here and learn from all the 40 plus speakers that are on this platform. People that are doing it with creatively, with their performing talents or their creativity talents. We're talking to business builders, platform builders. I want the creative to come in and basically sit through all of the sessions and get a blueprint on how they could go and create a big break for themselves. They would no longer have to wait for somebody else to give them permission, to give them approval, to do anything. They can go in and actually start creating that right now. And so this, I mean, what is transpiring through this summit, the sessions that are going to be in here, first of all, Mike, you crushed your summit. The price of admission for your talk in that summit is worth the whole price of the summit. So you're going to get 39 other speakers that are going to be a part of this summit, but you need to come in here, Mike, because he absolutely crushes it in this summit. But, the thing that's going to happen with a lot of performers is they're going to finally get permission to take their dream into their own hands and do what they are meant to do with it and stop waiting for somebody else to give it to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And that is exactly what some people are waiting for. They're waiting for, they're like, I want somebody to give me permission. This is the moment. This is the moment where you can move forward. And I love that you've put this summit together for people. I love that you have these different emphasis and this blueprint approach, because that's what people are looking for. They're looking for help. They're looking for somebody to help them make sense of their own journey and something that they can contextualize, right? Because like you said, nobody's journey is like somebody else's. You may have commonalities, you may have, you know, certain opportunities that look the same, but really at the end of the day, we're all trying to figure out, how do we keep moving forward? How do we keep creating the best work possible? How do we keep having impact to the people around us and the people who don't even know about us yet that we need to help? I love that you've set this up, and I can't wait to see what comes from this, because I think there's going to be a ripple effect. And I think that there may be things that we never know of that happen, yeah. Tipping points for people, lives that are changed in certain ways where people are like, yes, this is exactly what I needed at exactly this moment. Yeah. So I just want to say thank you for putting this together, because this is such a valuable resource for people, and a tremendous help, you know?
Yeah. It's been an honor to be a part of it. And, again, it's just amazing to me because of all of the amazing people that are coming to, you know, put input into this so that it's not just one voice talking, but it's literally, you got 40 cheerleaders that are behind you saying, listen, you can do this. And here's how. I think there's just so much power in that.
Yeah. And just tell us what are the dates for the summit?
Yeah. So the summit's going to happen January 20th through the 21st or 24th, excuse me. And it's called Creating Your Big Break Summit. And again, just, it's going to be 5 days of just jam packed, valuable content.
Yeah. And I'm going to put a link in our show notes so that people can go and make sure that they grab a spot for this summit. Absolutely. And again, I really, really, truly want to encourage you as a listener to don't just be a listener, be a participant, be active. And one of the ways that you can be active is by securing your spot, showing up for the summit, engage, take notes, and then figure out, here's your action plan. Here's how you're going to put that next step in place. And it's going to be a tremendous thing, I think, for you. So how can people follow you and just join in with some of the things that you're doing, Jesse? Drop some links on us.
Yeah. So if you're interested in dance, either you like to watch it or you like to participate in it, you can find us at worldwidedancechallenge.com. And you can find us on all the social media platforms under that tagline. And if you want to, you know, hang out with me, Jesse Paul Smith. There's just too many Jesse Smiths, so I just put my middle name in there, so it's just easy. But Jesse Paul Smith, and you can find me on, you know, all the social media platforms. And I love to meet new people. So if you have any questions about this conversation or anything else, throw me a DM, and I'll definitely be in there jamming out with you.
Awesome. I also want to be sure to mention that you have a podcast as well, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's called My Creative District. It's aimed at performers, helping them do exactly what we're doing with the summit and having amazing guests come on there and tell their story of how they've done it, what methods they've used, and it'll be inspiring and tactical all at the same time. We've got quite a few amazing people that have been on there as well.
Awesome. Again, I'll put that link in the show notes and encourage everybody. Hey, you're listening to a podcast right now. Jump on one more and make sure you listen to Jesse's, because I think we can all use as much encouragement as we can. And it feels like a movement to me. You know, it really does. It feels like people are like gathering around, linking arms together and going, let's do this. The world is changing around us and we can be participants in what comes next. And that's exciting, because it sometimes be scary, but it also presents tremendous opportunity if we lean into it and really show up and take our place in it, you know?
Yeah. And you know, the thing, there's a quote by John Maxwell that I absolutely love. And he says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, it's going to take a team. And I have had to learn that, you know, the hard way sometimes over my career, but it's amazing when a group of people get together that have alignment with their passions and their purpose, and to see the force that they can become. And, you know, as creatives, we are responsible for adding spice in the world. We're responsible for adding flavor. And if you've been given that creative juice, it's for a reason. And you never know what your creativeness is going to give to, you know, the world. And like you talked about, Mike, it might be a ripple effect that you never know, you know, the direct result of it, but it doesn't mean that it's any less powerful. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Such amazing conversation today. Jesse, I want to thank you so much for showing up, for being yourself, for, again, being authentic, willing to share your journey, your experiences with others, and to be that voice to cheerlead, to encourage, to teach, and to share the lessons that you've learned, even the hard way, with those who need it most today. So again, thank you so much for this. I look forward to learning more about you, following your journey myself. And again, I'm encouraging the listeners to do that as well. So
thank you, brother.
Thank you so much for this time today. Thank you.
No, it's been an honor, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening today. I'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, leave a rating and a review. It really helps this podcast be seen and heard by others.